Okay, good evening. The parasha is Va'era. Va'era is the second parasha of the book of Shemot. And before we get into it, I just want to remind you about this parasha, tell you what I think it's really about. The parasha of Shemot is the parasha of the creation of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was not a simple matter to produce Moshe Rabbeinu. It took a lot of enterprise on the part of heaven, and it took a lot of patience on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. I mean, it's not easy to find out that you are the designated hither for the rest of history. I mean, it's not easy to find out that your obligation is not other than saving the created world from some unknown destruction. But that was Moshe Rabbeinu. That was Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the best of the best, the greatest of the greatest, the profoundest of the profound. And all of that is laid out for us in the parasha of Shemot. And if you do any review of the parasha, look, just remember what I say. Remember that that's what the parasha is about, and look for it. Look for the hints of Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness and how that greatness had to be hewed. It had to be made. It had to be cut out like you cut out a stone from a larger stone. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was. Now, if I talk about the parasha of this week, parasha of Va'era, of course, we all know that the parasha of Va'era has a lot of makot in it, a lot of miraculous punishments that were given to the Egyptians. In fact, when we think about it, the parasha is really about the Egyptians and their major representative, whose name is Paro. I mean, who is called Paro. I don't know what his name actually is. But Paro was the name that they gave to kings. All the kings are called Paro. So that the story takes a twist, which is hard for me to understand. I would think that Moshe Rabbeinu, he's ready to go. Aaron HaKohen is with him, ready to go, translating, saying the words that Moshe Rabbeinu said in whatever language, in Egyptian. I don't know if that's because Moshe Rabbeinu forgot Egyptian. I mean, after all, he grew up in Egyptian. Or it was just not reasonable for the person who was going to bring the Torah to Bnei Yisrael to speak to Paro in Egyptian. To speak to Paro in Egyptian. I mean, he knew the Egyptian. But that's a problem that we have. Is it like, who's Moshe Rabbeinu and who's Aaron? If Aaron was translating, well, why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu just translate directly? And if translation is the preferred way of communication, you know, like if a man comes, Moshe Rabbeinu, and says, I'm going to speak the words that God told me. So you would think that the people who are listening would have to have sensors that enable them to understand what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. We have to understand that communication from God is not like other kinds of communication. And communication from God in the language of that communication, in the language which was, I guess, was in Hebrew, is also not the same. And that Paro probably was just not tuned in. You could not expect Paro to hear and understand Moshe Rabbeinu. So he understood the Egyptian translation. It's like any translation or most translations, if not all translations. There are some exceptions in the world history, but most translations are not quite the original. And it's, if you really want to know what the original said, you have to go back to the original and look at it. And so Paro was left out of that. he wasn't able to achieve the understanding that was necessary to understand God's words. And maybe that was the explanation for his hesitation, for the fact that he was not willing to follow the directive of Moshe and Aaron, but more about that later. We're going to take a few psukim, can't take too many, and try to learn them first with Rashi, then the Ramban, and if we have time, we'll look at the Rambam as well. The topic is, interestingly enough, the topic is free will. I mean, did Paro have free will? Was he that kind of person? Or was he in some way trapped in his own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu devised the punishment of slavery for Bnei Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed an assistant, needed somebody who would carry it out, who would do to the Jews what HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought should be done to them. And that assistant was Paro. That assistant was Paro. So when Paro was directed by Moshe and Aaron to let the Jews go and refuse to do so, now what was Paro doing? Was he acting as the divine partner in punishing the Jews and saying, well, the punishment is not over yet? After all, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Abraham Avinu 400 years, they would be enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. And in fact, they had only been enslaved for 210 years. So maybe Paro is like a little computer or a little kind of adding machine. And he's checking it out. How many years have they been here? When do we start counting? And he came to the conclusion that it was Redu, Reish Dalet Vav, 210. And not 400. So can you imagine? You imagine this kind of conversation that Moshe says to Paro, hey, Paro, we're on our way. Right, just check us out. Check us out of the Paro Hotel. We're not interested in staying. Maybe you could say that. And Paro says, but look, I signed on for 400 years. I'm a 400-year man, a punisher. So what happened here? How's Paro supposed to know what he's supposed to do for real? So look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Shmot Perek Zayin Pasuk Aleph." Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Re'eh. It says, "Behold." I don't know what "behold" is. I never say that in English. But look, take a look. Netaticha Elokim leParo. You know that when the names of God switch in the same verse, Vayomer Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei El Moshe Vayeda Taticha Elokim leParo. Now that word Elokim is a difficult word in this context. Look, behold, I gave you God to Paro, Varon Achicha Yed Viecha. And Aaron, your brother, will be your prophet. Now look at Rashi. The Taticha Elohim leParo, Rashi says, Elohim, the word Elohim. One second. Reide Taticha Elohim leParo. You see those words? This is the Rashi here. Shofet v'rodeh lirdoto b'makot v'yisurim. Shofet, a judge, and someone who does the actually executes the punishment to punish him with stripes, makot, beat him, v'yisurim, and other kinds of of stress. So the point is that Rashi doesn't get this word, the Taticha Elohim leParo. What could that possibly mean? So he says that the word Elohim has two meanings. One is that it's an alternate name of God, but there's another meaning to that word. And the other meaning is a judge. So the Taticha, a judge, leParo, but it doesn't mean only a judge, but the person who meets out punishment, leParo. That's you. That's your job. The punishment comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron achicha yedaviecha, and Aaron will be a prophet. Kitagubo, Rashi says, beturgemanach, prophet, is somebody who is able to translate. Able to translate. V'chein kol ashon nevuat, nevuat adam ha-machrizu ba-shmiah la'am, divrei tochechot, and that's the word that's used for the person who speaks to the nation, and he speaks to them harshly. V'hu migizrat, and this is compared to other uses of the same word. Ubelas korim lo, some other word, meilitz, ubeitif. In other words, it's hard to know exactly what it is that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to do and what it is that Aaron is going to do. But according to Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu is the source of punishment. The makot really come from Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. Aaron, his job is miturgimanach. He speaks. He speaks on your behalf. And for some reason, this job that Aaron had is very important. We already pointed out that there's a difficulty, because why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu do that? I mean, he could also speak in Egyptian. And so we have to think about it. We have to think about that. Okay? Pasuk bet. Ata tidaber kol asher atzaveka. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, will speak the words that I will command you to speak. Ba'aron achicha yedaber el paro. And Aaron will speak to Paro. So I guess who is Moshe Rabbeinu going to speak to? I guess he's going to speak to Aaron. He'll speak the words, and Aaron would hear them, and he'll translate them into Egyptian and speak to Paro. V'shilachet b'nei Yisrael mi'artzo. And as a result of all this talking and speaking and being hanging around, Paro is going to comply immediately. That's what God says. Pharaoh will give it immediately, and v'shilachet b'nei Yisrael me'atzo. Now, why did God say that? I mean, after all, I suppose God knew that it's not going to be that way. It's not going to be that easy, but it's going to take at least 10 makot, 10 different plagues to get the Jews out of Mitzrayim, and even when they get out of Mitzrayim, he's going to come chasing after them. And that's an interesting point that's made here in the Pasuk. V'ani akshe et lev paro. Ni akshe et lev paro. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I will harden his heart. Now, what is that all about? Why harden his heart? I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, this one, all the Mephoshim are going to deal with that. He didn't do anything wrong. He punished B'nai Yisrael. He made them into slaves in his kingdom. But that was organized by heaven. It was not Paro's idea. Paro didn't bring Yaakov and his family to Mitzrayim. He did not organize a work schedule for them, which was the same as slavery. He didn't do any of those things. Again, Ani akshe et lev Paro. I mean, why? Why is God going to harden his heart? V'erbeiti et ototai v'et moftai, and there'll be a lot of signs and more signs. V'eretz Mitzrayim. And there are going to be a lot of makot, a lot of plagues. because I'm going to harden his heart. I mean, this doesn't sound like it's fair. I mean, you know, people are punished for what they transgress, not punished for no reason. I never heard that Eov was going to be the model of Yitziat Mitzrayim, that Paro was going to be punished in spite of the fact that he didn't do anything. Achadli lay Paro, I hardened his heart, okay. But what's that going to do with him? That has to do with God. It doesn't have to do with Paro. If Paro is going to be punished, what is he being punished for? What is he being punished for? So Rashi says, Atati Daber, we'll learn a little bit of Rashi. Ani Akshe, you see the Rashi starts Ani Akshe? I will harden his heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look again. Ani Akshe Adlei Paro, that's what it says. I will harden his heart. And we know from the previous years learning the parasha that this idea of hardening the heart came up again and again. Paro almost let them out, but they didn't. He didn't let them out. Not after the first makkah, or the second makkah, or the third makkah. This doesn't let them out. And every time it says that God hardened his heart, which sounds like it means that he didn't have any, it was not a free will decision. It wasn't something that he decided, but it was decided for him. So if it was decided for him by God, it's kind of irrelevant. This guy's over here, so what do I need the 10 plagues for? What do I need the suffering of Paro for? What's the point? So Rashi says, but Neakshe. Neakshe, I was looking for my, there it is. Neakshe. Me'achar she'eshriya hirshiya. He was wicked. He spread wickedness. Ve'etris kenegdi, and he took a stand against heaven, against God. Galui lefanai. It's like God speaking. Galui lefanai. I see, I know, I understand. She'ein nachad ruach b'umot avdei avodah zarah, that the nations who are idolatrous, they don't have any pleasure. Right? Latev lev. Shalem Lashuv. They don't really want to do tshuva. That's his accusation. That's really so tshuva oriented. So tshuva Lashuv. Tov li sheyit kashel libo. It's better for me, for you, for us. Sheyit kashel libo, that his heart should be hardened. Yit kashel libo. Leman harbot bo ototai, and in order that there should be more and more plagues coming upon him and punishments, v'takir atem et gvuratai, and you will be able to see the greatness of heaven. V'takiru atem, and you'll see, you, the plural, will see, you will recognize Et givurotai. Rekein midato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the way it is with God. Mevi puranut al ha'umot ovdei avodah zarah. He will find reason or ways to punish the idolaters. Kidei sheyishbu'u Yisrael v'yirau. In order that Bnei Yisrael should be able to learn the lesson that if you don't do the right thing, you're going to get a severe punishment. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show them this in real time, in real life. So God punishes the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the idolaters, in order that Bnei Yisrael should learn and understand that this is a terrible transgression, and that they would stay away from it. Shneamar, Ekarti goyim, l'shamu pinutam. that the non-Jews are the ones who teach me this is a lesson. So let's just try to get Rashi. Rashi says God wanted to do Bnei Yisrael a favor on their way out of Mitzrayim. And that favor was that they should understand that they have to stay away from any form of idolatry. Any form of idolatry would, you know, usurp the whole process and change the course of history and was totally unacceptable to heaven. Or to teach them this, God would punish severely idolaters. So the Bnei Israel would say to themselves, it's the idolatry that brought the punishment on them. And that kind of idolatry, we don't want to be involved with. Right? Amarti, the Pasuk in Mishlei, Ve'af al pi chein. And in spite of that fact that I just said, Rashi says, Nevertheless, I have to point out, you know, as Rashi said, even though there is a reason, there's an understandable reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want to do this, Akshed Lev Paro. And that understand the reason that we should have to be able to benefit from the punishment that the Egyptians are getting, from the punishment that they're getting, and that punishment would be useful for us to help us understand how difficult idolatry is in the face of heaven, right? In the face of heaven, that's Rashi. And Rashi adds, you see here at the where is it? Here at the end. V'af al pichen, the af is the last word on the line, which I would just underline. Af al pichen, in spite of that, this is what I've just explained. In the first five makot, it doesn't say v'chazek Hashem et lei paro that God forced Paro to be recalcitrant. No. Ela vayechazak lev paro. That it just says that Paro's heart hardened. Doesn't say that God hardened his heart. But Paro's heart hardened. That means that Paro on his own, for the first five makot, chose to act in a certain way. So it's only in having chosen to do that and apparently denied himself, that's what Rashi also said, denied himself the possibility of doing tshuva, that the last five makot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the trouble to bechazek et libo, to harden his heart. So his heart was hardened in order that the punishment should be greater, in order that Bnei Israel should learn the lesson that idolatry was unacceptable. But that was only in the last five makot. Whereas the first five makot, Paro said, I don't care. I don't care what punishment I get. I'm not going to let them go. I'm not going to get them, let them go. And so you have this combination of two elements, according to Rashi. Combination of two elements. One more pasuk. Et yadi, not one more pasuk. Last pasuk here is, hey, v'yadu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem, and Mitzrayim, v'yadu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem, v'netoti, I will reach out, my hand will reach out over Mitzrayim, and I'll take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So again, this pasuk, I think, is a very important one, because it it kind of indicates to us that there was a failure in the process of Yitziat Mitzrayim, because the pasuk says clearly, "V'yadu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem," that Mitzrayim has got to learn something. There's something that Mitzrayim has to learn. Ani Hashem, meaning the one God who has control over all of the world, right? So that's what Mitzrayim should, their takeaway from all of this. And v'netoti et yadi al Mitzrayim, v'netoti et yadi al Mitzrayim, you see the word yadi in Rashi, et yadi, yad mamash, lahakot bahem. It doesn't mean that God has an arm. It means that we're talking about a metaphor arm, right? God's power, the power of God. God certainly doesn't have an arm. That's probably not what Rashi thought. Let's get back to this pasuk. Pasuk Hey, you see pasuk Hey, v'yadu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem, v'netoti et yadi, great power, al Mitzrayim, v'hotzeiti b'nei Yisrael mitocham. So that worked. You know, it's B'nai Yisrael, there was a lot of power expended against the Mitzrayim. B'nai Yisrael left Mitzrayim. But what didn't work? V'yadu Mitzrayim, K'ani Hashem. They didn't know. How do I know they didn't know? Because after Makat Bechorot, which sounds like something really awful, after Makat Bechorot, the Jews left Mitzrayim. And shortly thereafter, the Egyptians came chasing after them. And while the Jews seemingly were walking, the Egyptians came with wagons, chariots. I mean, you know, really the kind of thing that you could do, that you go to war with. So that means that after the 10 plagues, the Egyptians didn't get it. They didn't say, it must be God, the only God, the true God, the God of the Jews, the God that we should be deferential to, didn't get it. They said, we're going to stop them. We're not going to let them out. They got out of the door, but we could catch them before they get too far. And the only way to stop the Egyptians from chasing after the Jews was to kill them, to kill the Egyptians. So that if there was an educational program in Yitziat Mitzrayim, and if that education, that's how we started to talk about this parasha, that is really the parasha of Paro. And if Paro was involved, it could be almost like a chesed, a great blessing to Paro, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to teach him, to teach Paro, that God is God, and that he has to act accordingly. But that teaching to Paro didn't work. Didn't work. And that may be another reason that God hardened his heart in the last five plagues. Not the first five, but in the last five. His free will was curtailed in the last five. Makot. Because he indicated that he was not receptive, he was not responsive. He was able to feel, he was able to figure out that there was something wrong with this process and his place in that process. He's not just Paro, the king of Mitzrayim, but he's Paro, the agent of God. He's Paro, the one who organized the Jews of Mitzrayim, who thought that they would be there for 400 years, who didn't understand why they were leaving Egypt after 210 years. And so he was not able, he, Paro, was not able to assume the role of a student. Let's learn something new. Let's rewrite history in a proper manner. All of that was not possible for Paro. He was simply not able to understand. And because he was able to understand, he lost his position in the process. But in order to lose his position, he had to really do something unacceptable. What he did was, he didn't listen to Moshe and Aaron. Even though Moshe and Aaron, it is clearly stated in the Psukim, that Moshe heard the word of God, and Aaron passed on the word of God to him. It did not have the desired effect. Desired, because that's what it says in the Pasuk. That's what it says in Pasuk A, V'yadu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. That's the only thing, the only demand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had on the process, the only demand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had on the process of Yitziat Mitzrayim, and that demand was a demand on Paro and the Egyptians. And the Egyptians were supposed to know, the Egyptians were supposed to know that God is God. That's all. I mean, that's not all. I mean, they couldn't do it. They couldn't reach that level of understanding. They were simply not able, they were unable to understand. Let's quickly look at a little bit of the Ramban. The famous Ramban talks about some of these issues. Amru b'medrash Rabbah, Hila lo shehu atid lechazek et libo bavu la'asot asot bo hadin. That somehow in the future Paro would have his heart hardened because he deserved the punishment. Tachat she'evidam v'avodah kasha, because he made them work really hard. I mean, that the question was, why was Paro punished so severely? After all, he was just doing God's will. And so the answer is Tachat she'evidam v'avodah kasha. He went overboard. He, HaKadosh Baruch, Paro, went overboard. So Paro is in the story. Right? He's in the story, meaning, what I mean to say is that Paro's like an actor in the story of Bnei Yisrael. It was when you think about it, it was Paro who invented the 210 years. Paro invented it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the previous parasha, or the Torah says, that God heard their screaming. They couldn't put up with the pressure that Paro exerted upon them. So Paro was the one who, and so because they were crying out and screaming and yelling to God, so God decided to release them after 210 years. So who created the year, the 210 years? That was Paro. Paro created that. So when Raman says, quotes the Medrash, he says, "Evidum avodah kasha," that he made them work hard. Well, that's a big deal. That's not just Paro doing something administrative. Paro reordered history. And in order to change that, in order that the Paro should understand that he doesn't have really, the power to reorient history. And that power belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That power belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the punishment, and as far as there was a punishment that was given to Paro, that's what the Medrash says and that the Ramban quotes. The punishment that was given to Paro, the punishment that he deserved because he had been he had overwhelmed them with pain and suffering. And because he overwhelmed them with pain and suffering, he had created 210 years, so to speak. I mean, Lule the Mistafino, I would say, was like he forced God to take them out of Mitzrayim early. After 210 years, it wasn't stam. It wasn't something that just happened so that Paro deserved to be punished, but Paro's own desire to maintain some sort of independence from God, not to give in. It's because he was the one who created the shorter version of exile. Paro created it, so that it was important with Moshe and Aaron to remind Paro of the fact, as the Medrash says, that he represented Tuba, the unclean, the person who is denying the authority of God. And so finally, as we understand, it was impossible for Paro and the Egyptians, the soldiers who came, the chariots, the horses, the wagons, They couldn't get around it. There's no way that they could understand what their place in history was and who they were. That's the Parsha Vayera. Parsha Vayera is the Parsha of Paro. Paro is the one who changed the history of Am Yisrael and changed HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original promise to Bnei Israel, and therefore he was not able, even though confronted by Moshe and Aaron, he was not able to sense the secondary nature of his achievement compared to the primary achievement that was going to be done with Matan Torah. And there was no way that he could be educated on this point, because he created 210 years. I wish you all a good Shabbos. All the best. Be well.